I'm going to talk about something that's been listed on the slides called FLERC, and I'm also going to talk about something that's more practical. FLERC is a sort of a research project, and Radical is really what the software is going to be that you're going to be facing before FLERC really is finished. It's going to happen much sooner. This is a trip into a parallel universe. You're going to see a lot of stuff that is way out of what's going to be available. It's going to take a while before this happens. But I just want to paint an image of what I think could be done. And the whole... do I need to turn this thing on? I'll take it. I'll do it this way. That's fine.
I think you need to do. No, you have to do it manually.
I do. So that's.
Yeah, you'll have to do page down.
The issues I'm going to address is data, because that's really the whole story behind FLERC and Radical. My position is that Tickle is a perfect language, but it sucks at data. You have a lot of things you can do with Tickle. I'm going to have to page. When you have lists and arrays, you can do lots of things, but you cannot structure your information really easily. And I think that there's a lot of things we can do better and still be in Tickle. The standard answer, if you have a lot of data, if you need to do complex things, is to use a database. If you use a database, then you lose in a couple of ways. You have to switch languages. You have to go into SQL as a solution, and you have to have two mindsets. You have to think about data on the disk, data in memory, data in Tickle, data outside, and you have to think about getting data and putting it back on disk. I think we can do better. You also have to deal with the fact that they really are two different worlds. So you have to think about how to iterate over data, how to mix it with Tickle code. You have Tickle variables affecting the way the queries work. What do you do with traces? You would like to see the changes to the data being reflected in the GUI. How do you do that if you have a database? And well, it's the same story Mike mentioned. That's why is it so hard to write an app? I think there is an answer. There is a reason which we're all forgetting, and that's called spreadsheets. I think we're missing out on an opportunity to deal with information in a much more automatic way than we do today. I'm sure you're all familiar with spreadsheets. These things are very automatic in the way you use the software, in the way you define applications. You can build things in terms of how they should behave, but much of what's happening when you use an application built as a spreadsheet is automatic. You don't deal with I click and then I have to change something. It's all automatic. But a spreadsheet is an awful mess. I mean, it's a grid of cells, and it becomes unmanageable once it's a little bit larger. I really want a spreadsheet with structure. So I want something that's a database-like system that has relational operators, that has the automatic behavior of spreadsheets, but that doesn't... It is more than a database. And I think it can be modeled in a way where you think in terms of live data. Who's pushing buttons there?
Oh. How many people here have one of those pointers?
Yeah. You weren't? Okay. Anyway, I think we can do more in the spreadsheet world. The other side of the complexity of applications is the GUI. Now, of course, you need a GUI and you need visual design. There's no way around that. But a lot of the code that you write to implement stuff in an application is about the effects of pushing a button, which I think could be automated much further. Why do you have to go into so much detail? I really would like to see data that lives on the disk, in memory, and on the screen, being treated as one single type of information. You don't want to deal with the fact that they are copies of data, that you have to update something and then update all the other copies of it. You don't want to update the screen. You really just want to change the values and see things happen automatically. So I'd like to see widgets where you don't have a list box and you copy a list into it. And then if the list changes, you have to update the widget. Now you can have a list var variable in a list box widget, but that's not really the whole story. If you have a million items and you're changing one item, then you want a little bit more information than something's changed, please update. You want to know what's changed. And the richness of that really needs more than what we have with the list boxes and traces today. It's been mentioned the model view controller is the basic of what's behind this. I think we can do better with dynamic views. So what's the way to get there? I think I've started building something which I'm calling Radical. Radical is about relational algebra for TCL. So you have a data model that's very rich, that's very database oriented, but that's not stepping outside of TCL. You don't want to leave the TCL language. The terminology I use comes from the terminology I've used in the Medicare database. I treat information as tables, but I call them views. And I add the structure that you can nest views, so you have structured data. Radical also has all the standard operators you would expect in an relational algebra system, including set operations, but also including a couple of things which are more list-like, like concatenation and slicing. And there's a complete syntax in Radical, which is aimed to bring the ability to combine information easily within a TCL setting, without leaving the language, to combine things. I want to show you some examples. These are some operations, some very simple ones, where you take a table X, and it has three columns, three rows, and I want to extend the table, the view, with an extra column called C. It's an integer, and it's a computation of another one. Then another example. I'm going to take some water. Is something that goes deeper into what Radical really can do, which is the structured information. You can do grouping. So you take a table T, group on values which are in columns AB, combinations of AB which are unique. So you take all the rows where A and B appear together and combine them. So you have rows 0, 1, and 5 are all AB in the first two columns. And you create subviews by joining everything else in the back. So what you're seeing here is you're not treating data anymore as single pieces of information. You're thinking in terms of views. You're thinking also in terms of sets. Is it working now? Oh, yeah, it is. Great. That's good. By doing that, you get a lot of benefits in terms of performance, potential performance. When you start doing things in sets, in terms of sets, you can do things in terms of vectors. And the implementation has tremendous advantage if you do that. This is a lesson I learned when building MetaKit, which is highly vector-oriented. Done right, it outperforms TCL easily. So you have a database with persistent data, which is efficient enough to sort of do the things you would do in pure TCL. It's a full database in the sense that my aim is to bring Radical up to the level where it's an ACID-compliant complete database with instant open, so you don't read all the data into memory as you would with a load-save mechanism. It's actually a database. It has a fail-safe commit rollback system. It's transacted. And this is a goal that's within the next year. So I'll be taking small steps, but this is the way I would expect to have something that does all this within the year. Once you have that, you have a very ticklish environment where you can manipulate data. And now there's a lot of people who say, well, that's not SQL. What does that buy me? My answer to that is SQL is going to be is a standard that's extremely important. If you want pure SQL, go see that gentleman because he has SQLite. Why take anything else? I think it's really a great solution. If you want a combination with Tickle, I think there is a way to do both. And the way I want to show that is, I'm walking a little bit away from one of the things I wanted to mention. But let me see how I get into this. The idea I want to, what I want to do with SQL is make it optional for those who really insist on using it. But I also want to stress that you can do a lot of things without it. I think SQL and Tickle are a bad fit, actually. I think there are two languages that fit very badly together. So what Rascal is going to be is a solution for those who need it, but it's not going to be stressed. It's not a major issue in my approach. So I'm just mentioning this. This is further ahead in time even than the radical thing, but so you can see that there are options. The second thing I want to mention is the whole project that overlays this whole concept, because it goes even further. There's a project which people may have heard about, which is called FLERC. How do you call this thing? Well, FLERC. Not jerk, not burp. FLERC. There's a reason for that. FLERC is the Dutch word for rascal. It's sort of a pun, but it's really an abbreviation that exactly explains what it's all about. It's about vectorizing things for performance. It's about adding a language to make that thing, to implement the thing. You always need a language. But I want to do it in a way that it fits into Tickle. So FLERC is really about having a solution that makes Tickle work really well without leaving Tickle. About the spelling, I'm still trying to find out what to do with it. I've got a couple of names coming, and I'm going to explain them because you're going to run into them a little bit if you look into this project. The main one you'll be dealing with is Radical, which is a practical package you can download, use, run as a whole. Inside Radical are two technologies which drive the whole thing. It's a virtual machine, which I've called Thrive. And there's a little domain-specific language to build Radical with called Thrill. And on top of Radical will be a thin veneer called Rascal, which transforms a select query statement into relational algebra Radical. Now, FLERC is just a research project. There will never be a product called FLERC. It's just the umbrella under which everything else is going to happen. Radical is really the product that you'll see happen. The longer-term vision behind FLERC is that I want to get the data flow model working for this entire system so that you can build relational algebra expressions on top of information you have, and when you apply changes, they ripple through you can take expressions, show them on the screen. When you make changes, these reflect onto the screen. So this much larger longer term project behind this. It's been mentioned that Tequila is sort of another idea that's part of the Stargus project. Ultimately, the data flow that comes into FLERC is probably going to be used to drive the Tequila extension. Right now it's decoupled, because if we have to wait for that, it's going to take a while. So tequila has been developed independently, and it's going to continue much quicker than this does. I really think tequila is a great fit for this for several reasons. So I'm focusing completely on making this happen in tequila, although it's actually more general than that. Let me summarize a little bit of what I think Fluric is about. It's programming in a data-centric way. So you think in terms of sets, in terms of views. You apply relational operations to them. You have persistence, but you don't really deal with it very explicitly. It's there. You can use data that happens to live on the disk. It'll be efficiently available within tequila. You think in terms of sets. You think in terms of applying joins and projections, selections. And most importantly, you think in tequila, you code in tequila, and you stay in tequila. This is the notation, the pipe notation you briefly saw before, where everything is within the tequila language. And for want of a better term, I think I'm sort of trying to implement a relational spreadsheet in this project. Now all of this is future talk, so it's not going to be very useful to you. But let me describe what there is today. There's a core engine that's been rewritten several times. That doesn't mean it's going to be rewritten anymore. I think it's stable now. It's been stable for almost a year, but it took a lot of time to get the core right. That core engine is going to be part of TickleKit Lite, which is a small variation on the current TickleKit. TickleKit Lite is an extra version of TickleKit. It doesn't replace anything. The reason to build TickleKit Lite is to have something that gets away from the MetaKit requirement of having C++, which is undeployable. And it's something that's going to have the same performance as TickleKit. Right now, it's a read-only version of TickleKit. That's why it's called TickleKit Lite. It can read, run, mount StarKits, but it cannot create or modify them. So you still need a TickleKit to do that. But for deployment, that's often good enough. It's good to point out that this is an interpreted solution built on the Thrive engine, which is a virtual machine. And it's having the same speed as a compiled C++ MetaKit package. So it's already quite efficient. Radical is the logical next step, where you will not just be able to read MetaKit data files, which will have the relational algebra. Before the end of this year, there will be a radical that does read-write, commits through a trick, but it will be able to write back to MetaKit files, to StarKits, everything. And so it should be enough to do the things you do today with MetaKit and to start trying out things like relational algebra. The advanced things will happen. The speed, the data flow will come later. All of this is MIT open source software. And all of this is happening at www.flurk.com. In trying to get the structure a little bit across to you, the colors don't come across. I just wanted to draw a little image of what it's all about and how it's structured. You'll see a VM at the inside. There's a C API. There's a tickle binding around that. That's what you get to see. And that's wrapped into the radical package. So it's a single package. And in the white section, or is it blue? Well, yeah, it's going to be. You see the pieces as sort of the guts of the whole thing. And that's what stays inside. In TickleKit Lite, the really big pieces like relational algebra and data flow, which doesn't even exist today, are not included. Now, my expectations for this approach are pretty high. I expect to get into very high performance, into very high flexibility, and into very high ease of use. I want to I've done some measurements, and I think it will be at least in the range of Tickle native data structure speeds. It will be. It has the flexibility of a full SQL solution, but within the relational algebra, and it will be able to map and efficiently deal with XML data as well. So you have trees and relations, everything will be in there. Ease of use is because it all fades into Tickle. You still have Tickle commands, but you get the data manipulation, just like TK brings the GUI into Tickle. And the data flow is the longer term plan to make this thing completely dynamic so that changes affect the GUI when you apply changes to the data. What I've learned so far, and I've been working on this probably 2 years now, pretty much, is that the Medicaid file format is one of the strengths that's really going to be taken further still. It's very effective at storing data, at storing it efficiently, and at getting it off the disk very efficiently. The trick there is that it's fully column-wise vectorized, and that just soars. This comes back into the radical internals, and it's going to be used internally. The other thing is I've learned that a lot of speed, performance, simplicity, flexibility, and ease of use comes from making things simpler. So I've been simplifying things like crazy. TicklKit Lite is the version where the Medicaid has been removed. Something else small has been used to implement the radical kind of things. It's several hundred K smaller. It's the same speed. It's much less code. It's much easier for me to manage that and to extend that than the original Medicaid database. And making things simpler often actually gets you everything. It becomes faster and more flexible as well. And the lesson I learned, of course, also is that this is a great project because it's been funded by Mike Doyle. He continues to fund this, and he's making all of this really going forward much faster than it would have been going without him. So, back on Earth. Any questions?
So, do you have like an actual application or project that you're long-term thinking you will implement with this?
It's not building a language for the sake of. I've built several applications where I constantly get frustrated by the amount of effort it takes to build those. So I'm not using a future application to drive this. I'm using the experience from the past to say, how could I have redone those things simpler? So I'm trying to.
So you think when you have this done.
I would. I would.
Then you'll say, oh, now I have an app.
Now I can do it the way I would like to do it. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Tom, you got an idea for a killer app.
That's just how I usually work.
Yeah. That's why I call it a research project. This is really driven by the desire to get it. I want to get it back to the. No. This lags.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. I wanted to show the.
Oops.
Come on. This one is it? No?
Why don't you come down, Jeff?
This is what I wanted to keep on the screen because it's sort of. It's the most practical side of what you're seeing in this presentation. Working code, of course, but I can show you examples of stuff you can do with views and the way these structures work. But, well, as you can see at the bottom, it's sort of, it's not SQL at all, but it's relational and it's fully relational in that sense. Anyway.